soul comes up to preach, we'll sing. And you think, what song is it? Could it be Troubles in My Way or Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride? But no, it was Glory, Glory, and we're fired up about that. Amen? How are you today? This morning, we'll be speaking about faith. So how's your faith, church? I've had this message on my heart because recently I've needed faith. My wife and I have been speaking about a few things, you know, as you do, about family, about money, future plans, current plans, all that stuff. And then eventually you realize, my goodness, I need more faith. Because by sight, I can't see it happening. So I definitely need faith. Amen? And I was trying to think of a title, because I started to think of the sermon about a fortnight. About a fortnight now. And I was, I could just call it faith, or how's your faith? And then the riots happened. And I thought, the Lord has provided. So, the title this morning is, London's Burning, But Is Your Faith on Fire? Amen? What a crazy few weeks it's been. And you know, if anything, I think it's shown us more and more how much we need the message of Christ. You know, the shop that was burnt in Croydon had been in this man's family for over 100 years. Over 100 years it had been in the family. It even survived World War II. But it didn't survive the riots of Croydon. And you know, it reminded me of Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus speaks about, is your treasure on earth or in heaven? And you know what? Let's really strive to build our treasures in heaven. Amen? Because in heaven, riots, moth, nothing can get to our treasure. And Jesus says, you know what? Build your treasures in heaven. There is no need for insurance if your treasure's in heaven. Amen? It's quite a nice day today, and so I'll try and keep it brief so that we can then move on and practice our faith. Amen? Right. So, faith. You know, in Luke 18, Jesus tells us a parable about the persistent widow. And he says she's pursuing justice. And eventually, the judge says, fine, stop bugging me. You will get justice. And then at the end of the parable, Jesus says, you know, when the Son of Man returns to earth, will he find faith? Imagine when Jesus returns, what it will be like. And I pray that when he does come back, all of us are standing firm in the faith. All of us are engaged in faithful acts. Amen? So that truly he can find faith in us when he comes back. Before we start, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your scriptures. And Lord, as we read the scriptures, help us to be pure-hearted. Lord, help us to be humble, Father, to your scriptures. Father, may we become less, Father, and you more and more. Father, we love you, we praise you, and it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. There was just one more announcement. Obviously, it's our brother Richard's birthday, and after church they will be celebrating at Risham restaurants. Risham restaurants. Amen. Fine, let's go to the book of Hebrews. And my first point is simply this. Faith allows us to stand with Abraham. Faith allows us to stand with Abraham. I don't know about you, but as a man, from time to time, you ask yourself the question. Yeah, you ask yourself the question that every man asks himself. What's my purpose? Yeah, what's my purpose? I mean, you know, I love my family, I love my friends, I love my church, you know, life is all right, but really, what's my purpose? If I died, what would people be able to say about me? You know, I'm sure in the last week, the police have had to deal a lot with fingerprints, right? But what spiritual fingerprints do we leave on the people we meet, on our family, on our friends? What's my purpose? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, that famous passage on faith. Amen? It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was not made, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If we can see it, it's not faith. Amen? If we skip down now to verse 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, that's a challenging scripture. So I ask again, church, how's your faith? Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger, he lived in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. And at least one person is fired up about faith. Amen? It says he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. For who were heirs with him of the same promise? For he was looking forward to the city without foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from one man, and he as good as dead, amen, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. Amen. Abraham was a faithful man. The scripture says he was called by God and he obeyed. He believed. And we are all descendants of Abraham. Through one man's faith, we've all been blessed. But sometimes I read the scriptures and I think, you know what? It's full of so many amazing men. You think of Abraham, Moses, Elijah, all the prophets, Jesus. And you just say, you know, I mean, where do I stand in relation to all these amazing people in the scripture? But if you look at the passage, God doesn't speak about his achievements. He speaks about his faith. And that encourages me, because that shows me that, you know what, I can stand next to Abraham and show the same faith he showed. And we all can. Amen? I'm a father of two. And that's hard work. Abraham has lots of children because he had faith. Christians, Jews, Muslims all claim a stake in this one man. Why? He obeyed. He believed in God. When God spoke, he believed him. He was faithful. And you know, I'm reading a book on parenting, on spiritual perspectives, right, to parenting. And it's a great book, and you know, it's got lots of great advice, so on and so forth. And then I read a paragraph in it about a week ago, and I haven't read it since. I was reading it, you know, la 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 la, this is a fantastic book. And then it hit me. It said, you need to stop trying to teach your children how they should be and become the person you want them to be. And I was like, ah. Because it's really easy to say, you know, son, be polite. Son, be helpful. Don't argue. Don't be angry. It's really easy. It's not so easy to live it yourself. And the whole point was, you know, children pick up on things very quickly. If you're trying to teach them things, but you're not living that way, they pick up on it. And so it says, stop trying to teach them all the time and just be the person you want them to be. And that scared the life out of me. Because I want my children to be humble, confident, clever, polite, ambitious. Pray for me. You know? You know? So, if you want your children to be hospitable, have people over all the time. If you want your children to love the Bible, let them see you reading the Bible all the time. If you want your children to be joyful, you be joyful. And if you want your children to be faithful, live a faithful life. And it's challenging, because the person you are is actually more important than what you achieve. If we look in the book of Mark, chapter 8, and this is a great scripture, and we all read it. Mark chapter 8, in verse 36. It says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? What's the point of gaining the whole world and yet losing your soul? Jesus is trying to say to us, concentrate on being the right person. Church, how's your faith? The person you are has the greatest impact on those around you. If you're a faithful person, you will impact other people. If you're a faithful person, God will use you. And you know what? We all want to leave something for our children, something for our church, something for our friends and family. All of us, no matter our color, our age, wealth, all of us can leave a legacy of faith. All of us can leave faithful fingerprints wherever we are, because we've all been given the capacity to have faith. Amen? So you might be asking, what's my purpose? Where do I fit in this world? Where do I stand with all these great people in Scripture? Well, they've left us a legacy of faith that we can carry on and leave to other people as well. Amen? My second point is this. Faith is not afraid to say, I don't know. Faith is not afraid to say, I don't know. And I hate saying, I don't know. I like having the answers. You know, we've got Google, Yahoo, every search engine. And if we want any answer, all we have to do is go online, right? Where do I find this? Who shot this person? When did this happen? And all the answers are right there. So much so that it's now very rare to hear anyone say, I don't know. Because we can actually just go online and find out, right? But faith is not afraid to say, I don't know. You know, as we read about Abraham in Hebrews, in chapter 11, verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to a place where he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He had no clue, but he upped and left. You know, when I was in the Oxford church, we had an evangelist come over. I believe it was the church in New York, and he did a great sermon, you know, and he made a point that, you know, sometimes as Christians, life can be very confusing. And he shared a story about how the brothers had reached out to this person on the street, you know, but this person, how do I put this? He was born a man, but was sort of halfway through an operation to become a female. He was born a man, but he never felt like a man. And so at some point he thought, you know what, I feel like a female, so I'll have an operation. And so they reached out to him, stroke her, and the brothers were like, you know what, we actually don't know if we we should ask the brothers or the sisters to study for them. Because clearly he was born a man, but he's now reached a point where he's actually sort of half and half. And then the preacher said, you know what, bro? I don't know. I mean, how do you answer that? You know, I just don't know. And all of us have times when we just don't know. And that's okay. You know, there are lots of questions that we love answers for. Last year, my mom came over to see us and, you know, the children and stuff. And, you know, we had a great time. And 2 weeks before she was sort of planning to fly home again, my grandfather passed away. And so he didn't even have a chance to see his great-grandchildren. This was 2 weeks before all of us were due to fly home. And my mom was devastated because, you know, she had been planning all this time. She had bought presents and all sorts. And, you know, just like so keen for her father to see his great-grandchildren. And all she could ask was, why? I don't know. And, you know, but that's okay. We don't have all the answers, but that's what faith is about. God has his reasons. Amen? Lots of questions. We don't have all the answers, but that's okay. If we turn back to the Old Testament now, to that famous book, Job. The book of Job. Thanks, honey. I'm okay now. I'm fine now, guys. I'm fine. Amen. The book of Job. And you know what? We all know the story. Job is a faithful man. And even in the first chapter, he says, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered him? You know, there is no one like him. Have you considered him? He was a faithful man. And of course, then we know that he loses his whole family, his livestock, and he's broken. And his friends come and try and comfort him and try and find reasons why he's having all these hardships. And just like spend ages going back and forth, they're speaking, there's this, there's that reason and this reason, and they're just like speaking and speaking and speaking, just trying to figure out what in the world is going on. This was a faithful man. Life was great. And yet he loses everything. And then in chapter 38 of Job, the Lord responds. And he responds beautifully, I think. Starting in verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm, which in itself is a bit scary, alright? So there's this storm, and the Lord answers. And he says, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? brace yourself like a man. My goodness. And I will question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Imagine if you're struggling and you speak to a brother or a sister. And you're like, bro, sis, I'm struggling, man. Financially, my family, just I'm having a tough time. And the brother responds and says, where were you when the Lord made the earth? You're like, bro, I've come to you for comfort, encouragement. You'd challenge him. You'd be like, you're supposed to lift me up here. God does none of that. He just asks, where were you? And it's a wonderful scripture because it shows us that God doesn't answer to us. It's the other way around. We answer to God. Amen? And He doesn't have to explain everything He does. He doesn't have to explain everything that happens, good or bad. You know why? Because where were we when He laid the foundations of the earth? God doesn't answer to anyone apart from Himself. And amen, amen. That's fine. So faith is not afraid to say, I don't know. If a faithful man like Job can lose everything and get no answer, so can we. In the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 22, and just a quick passage that I think Jesus is speaking to Peter, isn't he, here? Where are we? Luke 22 in verse 31. Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter, and he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned your back, strengthen your brothers. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, and I have prayed that it doesn't happen. No. I have prayed that when it does happen, your faith doesn't fail. Again, Simon Peter, the rock that Jesus built his kingdom on. If Satan is planning to sift Simon Peter like wheat, how about us? And again, I love the response. It's not, Simon, it'll be okay. I'll protect you. I'll fence you in. No. It's, I pray that your faith doesn't fail you. And as we pray for our brothers and sisters, let's pray that same prayer. That, bad things, challenging things will happen. But let's pray that their faith doesn't fail them. And when we have turned back, let's also strengthen our brothers and sisters. Amen? And my third and final point is this. Faith comes from hearing the word. Faith comes from hearing the word. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 and verse 17. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Amen? How's your Bible study? How are your quiet times? How are your times with God? And I'm asking all of us, really, myself included, because recently my Bible study hasn't been great. And you know, I've got my excuses. I've got children and work and all sorts of stuff. But really, if we want to build our faith, we need to be in the scriptures. Amen? If I asked you, what's the most important component in your walk with God, what would you respond? Anyone? Anyone? If I said, what's the most important thing? No, love? Okay. Any others? Yeah. Prayer? Okay. Any others? Bible study? Okay. Are they? Bible study? Time with God of faith. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Phil. Obedience. Right. Okay. Excellent. Grace. Fine. I mean, all those answers are right to some extent. Let's look at 1 Corinthians to get the answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And Paul is speaking about love. And I think a few people have said that. And in chapter 13, verse 13, it reads, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And you ask, well, what does that have to do with a message on faith? Well, let's look at John 14. John chapter 14. You're thinking, what does love have to do with this? How is it linked? What's love got to do with it? Amen? I'll stop there. John chapter 14 in verse 21. It says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Amen. So, faith comes from hearing the word. If we love God, we have to obey the word. To obey the word, we have to know the word. So it's all linked. If you want to be faithful, you need to show your love for God by reading the scriptures, which in turn builds your faith. Amen? So the most important component is love. But if you don't have that, you cannot build your faith because you won't be reading the scriptures and putting them into practice. So how's your Bible study? Let's take it seriously. Because, I mean, really, there is no secret to faith. If you want to build your faith, read your Bible. Look at the example of all those great men and women in the scripture. Look at the teachings of Jesus Christ himself. And it builds your faith. It builds your character. Amen? You know, like I said, it's such a lovely day. And I think it's right that we, you know, have some time to live and practice our faith. this morning we've spoken about three key things. Faith allows us to stand with Abraham. Hebrews did not talk about his achievements or the things he did, but it did talk about his faith and the things that happened because of his faith. And we can imitate that faith and pass it on to our family and pass it on to our friends. Amen? Faith is not afraid to say, "I don't know." Because even the great men and women in the scripture didn't always get the answers. But it didn't affect their faith. Let's stand firm and pray that our faith does not fail us. Amen? And finally, faith comes from hearing the word. Let's love our Bibles. If we truly want to build our faith, let's love God, read the Bible, obey it, which in turn builds our own faith. Amen? Amen. I'm now. Cheers.
Thank you, Shiva, for such an insightful message. Just don't want to repeat what he has said, but one thing that stands out for me, God doesn't need to answer to us. That is very challenging. Sometimes you think you're worthy to be blessed, and you deserve better things in life. God doesn't need to answer to us. We need to. That's what faith is all about. Whether good times, whether you have good times or bad times, is continue to trust and obey. And also Simon Peter was allowed to be sifted. Jesus Christ didn't say, "Okay, I'll protect you, Peter." He was allowed just to be sifted. But when you turn back, strengthen your brothers.
Amen.
That is quite humbling and challenging, but thank you, brother, for such a wonderful message. Before we continue, I'll call on Ade to say Ade.
Come on, Ade.
I'm an outfit to make, okay?
Come on,
good afternoon, church. This is just in response to the announcement that I made on Friday regarding the purity meeting on Saturday the 3rd. Just to clarify, the meeting is for married men, married women, and single brothers. I'm afraid it will not meet the needs for single sisters. Just to clarify that. And also, if you're interested, we're hoping to have checks available, or if you could provide a check for £30 in the next week, please. And that's going to be the deadline, so if we could bear that in mind. Many thanks.
Thank you very much. So let's stand as we...
Just 1 second. Let me just... There was an announcement I was making about... I think I didn't leave the church was in. So that's why she's not able to attend church. But she's here, she's well. And we're glad to see her. Amen.
Amen.
So let's sing number 700. Thank you, Lord.
Let's stand as we sing 700. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. To thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us go in one accord, sing praises to strong and way to more they long to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you.